Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this evening is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 14, beginning with the first verse. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, when you die, for what do you want to be remembered? Perhaps as a loving spouse or a good parent. Maybe you hope that they will say about you that, well, he was a nice guy, a good man, or a solid friend. Perhaps you want to be remembered for what you did for a living. Maybe a business you owned, or your favorite hobby, or maybe your favorite sports team or musician, or how charitable you were for those in need. And you might very well be remembered for those things for a while. What about years down the road? How many people will remember you and remember what you have done 25 years after you die, or 50? What about 100? After 100 years, all your close relatives and your friends will be long gone. And no one, or very few people, may even remember your name, let alone who you were and what you have done. What about 1,000 years from now, or 2,000 years from now? You know, what does it take to be remembered for 2,000 years? Well, you will probably have to make some great scientific discovery that changes the course of the earth. Or maybe be some groundbreaking and world-renowned philosopher, or make some contributions to the arts or science, or be some great military leader. No, really, there's a very, very little chance that people are going to remember you 2,000 years from now. But then there's Mary. What did Mary do to be remembered 2,000 years? It wasn't because she was rich or powerful. She wasn't some great military leader. Wasn't that she was an artist or a musician as far as we know. No, we remember what Mary did 2,000 years after the fact because of a gift she gave to Jesus. You see, it was a few days before Jesus would be arrested and betrayed and put on trial. He was eating a meal at Simon the leper's house, and Mary was there. Mary took with her to this meal a jar of perfume. And it wasn't just any jar of perfume. It's not like she was had some Ralph Lauren or Chanel or something like that. No, this was an alabaster jar filled with pure nard. Nard was an oil extracted from a root of a plant that grew predominantly in India. So you can only guess, living 2,000 years ago in Israel, how expensive it would have been, how hard it would have been to come across a bottle of pure nard. Someone at the party said that it was worth, according to the NIV, a year's wages. Now, literally, the Greek says 300 denarii. And we know that denarius is worth about a day's wages for a common laborer. Some have estimated that in today's money, this jar of perfume was worth about $30,000. Mary took that $30,000 jar of perfume, broke it open at the top, and poured it all over Jesus' head. And John and Luke tells us that she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped away the perfume and her tears off Jesus' feet with her hair. She gave $30,000 jar of perfume to the Lord, anointing the Lord, preparing him for his burial. She didn't think twice about it. Well, actually, she probably did think more than twice about it. You see, Mary wouldn't have carried this expensive jar of perfume wherever she went. No, she grabbed it from her house and took it to Simon's house for the explicit purpose of giving it to Jesus. Some scoffed at her. Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor, they said. Now John tells us that it was predominantly Judas who said this, and not because he was concerned about the poor, but he was thinking about pocketing some of that money for himself. Well, that's a reasonable argument, isn't it? Just think about how expensive that perfume was. Just think about all the great things they could have done with it. All the poor they could have fed or clothed with $30,000. Those are the same reasonable arguments that we hear people making today. You know, you should save some of your money and stop giving so much to the church so that you can prepare, so that you can pay for your children's college education. You know, you shouldn't give a new one to the church. You should buy the new one for yourself and give your old one to the church. You know, you're so smart and talented. You can get any job you want, so why would you give up a six-figure income in order to join the public ministry? I can't believe that he is going to give all of his estate entirely to the wealth. So many more people could have been benefited by that. I'm sure his children would have loved to have some of that money. And that's the same reasonable arguments that our simple nature makes day after day. You know, we tell ourselves, I need that money more than the church does. The church, they always seem to come out all right towards the end of the year, but not me. I always seem to be struggling. You know, my kids are getting older and I have to worry about college or maybe soon I'll have to worry about retirement. And you know, I would like that bigger TV. My car has about 150,000 miles on it. Or my data always runs out every month. Maybe I need a bigger plan. We can go on and on about the arguments that the simple nature makes that sound reasonable to us. Just like Judas's argument. Now he and others, they may have mocked and ridiculed Mary, but not Jesus. Instead, Jesus defended her. He said, she did what she could. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And as we talk about Mary tonight, Jesus' words are once again fulfilled. Have you ever sat and thought about what led Mary to do what she did? Though, of course, Mary knew who Jesus was, that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the Savior of the entire world. And it wasn't too long before this that Jesus went to a tomb. The tomb of Mary's brother Lazarus. He had been dead for 4 days. Yet Jesus just had to speak a few words, and her brother Lazarus, who had been decaying, walked out of the tomb completely fine. How could Mary ever repay the Lord? She couldn't. How could Mary ever rightly and fully thank Jesus? Well, she couldn't. So she did what she could. A small token out of love and thanks for everything the Lord had done for her and her brother. And 2,000 years later, we still remember what she has done. But as we will read in the five coming midweek Lenten services, as we read the passion history of our Lord, we remember not what Mary did, but we remember what Christ did. He didn't just crack open a jar and pour out some perfume. No, he gave up his very blood and his life on the cross for us. But not before he was betrayed and arrested. Not before he was mocked and ridiculed and spit upon. Not before he was beaten and crowned with thorns. Not before he was flogged and crucified. Not before he took our sins upon himself, suffering through their eternal punishment as he was forsaken by the Heavenly Father. Not before he gave us his perfect life. Our Lord understood the cost. He knew the price he would have to pay in order to remove the sins of the whole world. But the high price of his holy, precious blood didn't lead him to shy away from the cross. It didn't lead him to not give up his gift. No, he willingly gave up his life, suffered and died for us, so that our sins may be removed and that we would be given his perfect life and be declared not guilty in the eyes of the Lord. And that, of course, is our motivation. It's all about love. Since Christ loved us and gave up his life for us, we love him. We love because he first loved us. And it's a love that leads us to show love to Christ by giving back to him. When the Holy Spirit leads us to appreciate and know the depth and riches of Christ's love and what he did for us, then we, like Mary, love. With smiles on our faces and joy in our hearts, we break open our own alabaster jars and pour out our own perfume. Being less logical and more generous, less reasonable and more faithful, less self-centered and more Christ-centered, less concerned about what others think about us or say about us, and more concerned with serving and showing love to our one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Mary is perhaps better known for something else. You may remember a different time when Jesus was eating with Mary and her sister Martha. Martha was running around the house preparing the meal and getting the house ready for Jesus, and there Mary sat at Jesus' feet listening to his word. Martha complained. But Jesus replied, "Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better." There aren't too many people who knew better the proper place for Christ and his word than Mary. Nothing. Not even serving the Lord and preparing a meal for the Lord is as important as listening to his word. Nothing is more important than Christ and his gospel. In the same manner, Mary knew that she could have kept the perfume for herself. She knew that she could have sold it and given it to the poor or kept the money for herself. But Christ is more important than anything else. And so she willingly gave that gift for her Savior. You know, there's very little chance that who you are and what you have done will be remembered 2,000 years from now, or 1,000 years from now, or even 100 years from now. Who you are, what you have done, what you have bought with your money, how generous you were to others, and so on, will be forgotten. There's really only one gift that lasts. The gift of eternal life given to us by Christ through his gospel. It is through that gospel that the Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts and strengthens that faith. So we give a gift that lasts. And we support the gospel ministry in whatever way we possibly can, so that others may have that everlasting gift of a perfect life in heaven. And in the end, it doesn't matter what people think of you or what people might say about you. It doesn't even remember whether or not they will remember you. We give and we act for the Lord, our Savior, who gave up his life for us. It is the Lord who calls any gift given through faith, whether it be large or small, a beautiful thing. And it is he who remembers our fruits of faith. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.